Our scripture is recorded for us in the book of 1 John, chapter 5, and it's verses 6 through 12. It's on page 231 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bible. 1 John, chapter 5, verses 6 through 12. This is part of the third section of 1 John. John wants to let his hearers know that God is light, God is love, and he's also in this third section saying God is life. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with water only, but with water and with the blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that bears witness, the Spirit and water and the blood, and the three are in agreement. If we receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater. For the witness of God is this, that he has borne witness concerning his Son. The one who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. The one who does not believe God has made him to be a liar, because he has not believed in the witness that God has borne concerning his Son. And the witness, or the testimony, is this, that God has given us eternal life, and that life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as you have spoken your word to us, now let us hear with ears that are attentive to understand exactly what you are saying, so that we may be drawn closer to you in the love and the light and the life that you have for us in Jesus Christ. Amen. When Barbara sent me the sample bulletin for this Sunday, and I saw the law of God in Romans about confessing with our mouths the fact that of the salvation we have in Jesus, I said, I like that scripture verse. And it reminded me of this verse, or these verses in John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. And so what I'd like for us to do this morning is really three simple things, is to understand what it says. The second thing I'd like for us to do is to understand what it means, because sometimes what it says is not exactly what it means, and then to simply ask a question. What it says. First part is really to say that this is the testimony. John has been working up to this point, and he's been giving us various things of saying this is the testimony of God. Testimony or witness is the word that is used there. And it means it's an eyewitness account. I don't know if any of you have ever been involved in a trial or not. I tried to be involved one time, but I wasn't able to go on the witness stand, simply because I was not an eyewitness. Oh, I knew the people who were going to be presenting their testimony, but I wasn't an eyewitness. And only eyewitnesses were able to go on the stand to be examined and cross-examined at that point. But this is the testimony. And the word there is martyria, or as we get the modern word, martyr. A martyr is an eyewitness to the grace of God, the mercy of God, as the choir has sung. And they are willing to be eyewitnesses and to stand up for that faith. And we have taken that to mean somebody who is even willing to die for that faith as well. But that is what God is saying here. And he's saying if we receive the eyewitness account of men, in other words, John, this is around the time of 90 AD, 60 years after Jesus' death and resurrection, John has been walking with the Lord while he was on earth, witnessing his death, witnessing his resurrection, and enjoying a very fruitful ministry since then, and bearing eyewitness account. And he says, you can hear my account, and you can hear the account of other people, But God's eyewitness, God's testimony concerning his son is even greater than that. It's greater than the water and the blood and the spirit, because it all builds up where John definitively declares, and this, verse 11, and this is the witness. This is the testimony. This is the eyewitness account. Very simple. God has given us eternal life, and that life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who doesn't have the Son of God does not have life. To me, that's very simple. To illustrate it, God has given us life. I'm going to call this life. Okay? And that life is, I'm going to call this Jesus. If I might, it's a hymn book. No real significance. But God has given us life, and that life is where? In his Son. That's what the scripture says. And that he who has the Son has life, and he who doesn't have the Son does not have life. I'm going to put somebody on the spot. No microphones. Of what Jesus' gospel message is all about. That he came to give us life. Obviously, we didn't have life, but he came to give us life and give it to us in abundance. Now, what does the Bible say? That God came to give us life. But what does it mean? Because I have a feeling you didn't understand what I just said. I have a feeling that you think when Piper lifts her leg, I need to go get the cleaning cloths to fix the carpet, rather than go over and scratch her tummy. Because one of the things I think we all learned a long time ago was that in the Bible, in the Greek language, there's actually three words for the word love. We know that. Eros, the sexual kind of love. Phileo, which is the brotherly kind of love, and of course then there's the agape love, which is a self-sacrificing love of sacrificing myself in order to serve someone else. But it was interesting when it was pointed out to me that there's also three words in Scripture for the word life. And we use it all the time. As a matter of fact, in our call to worship, and also in our confession of faith and that sort of thing, we actually use two different Greek words for the word life, even though we use the word life. And the three words would be common to us, because the first is the word bios, biology, biography, and those sorts, all those bio types of words. The second is psyche, in which we get psychology and psychiatry and psychotic. And the third is zoe, in which we get zoo and zoology and protozoa and words along those derivations. But unless we understand which life is being talked about, it's very easy to be confused and to want to clean up the carpet rather than scratch the tummy. Here's what I mean. Bios is used 9 times in the New Testament. And it deals with life. That's bios. The plant. I don't see a plant. You go outside and the tree has bios. There's bios in the world. Luke 8:14, the seed which fell among the thorns and the ones which heard. They go on their way and they're choked by the riches and the worries and the pleasures of this bios and bring no fruit to maturity. 2 Timothy 2:4, no soldier in active service engages himself in the affairs of everyday bios, so that he may please the one who has enlisted him as soldier. 1 John 3:17, but whoever has the world's bios, we say the world's goods, but the world's bios, and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Boy, that's a word that we can use in terms of understanding the charity that God calls us to offer to other people. But then we have the word psyche. Psyche is not this, but it's that intangible thing that we say, this is Bob Davidson, and that's Carol and Barbara and everybody else. We're unique. We are our own personality. We have our own likes and dislikes, our own strengths, our own weaknesses, our own passions, our own sins. We have all of those things, and they're tied up in us. As a matter of fact, just the other week, I was driving the car, and my wife was texting on my phone. I don't know if you've, but just a little parenthesis, have you ever seen the bumper sticker? Honk if you love Jesus, text if you want to meet him. Okay, so she was doing the texting on my phone. See, there, I did have a joke. She was texting on my phone. She only texted a couple of words, like a sentence, to my daughter, to one of our daughters. And our daughter wrote back and said, Dad, is that you? In other words, my wife has a different way of speaking and putting words together than I do. And she immediately knew that even though the cell phone was my cell phone, it wasn't me. It wasn't my psyche that was coming through with that message. And sure enough, it was Marilyn, and she said it was her. But that's what the psyche is. It's that individual part of who we are. It's used 101 times in the New Testament. And it deals with not only who we are and want to be, but it also deals with that part of us that needs to be crucified. That part of us that goes to the cross. Mark 8:35 and 36. For whoever wishes to save his psyche will lose it. And whoever loses his psyche for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but forfeit his psyche? Now you see, some people would think, oh, that's bios, and so they're going to be self-flagellating and everything else. But understand now, oh, he's talking about a personality of the things that I want and my desires. Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his psyche a ransom for many. And Jesus said, I ask you, is it lawful to do good or to do harm? To save a psyche or to destroy it? Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against your psyche. See how it's different than bios. But then we get to the heart of the matter, which is Zoe. And while there were 9 bioses and 101 psyches, there's 127 Zoes. Zoe is something that was so important that God introduced it in its concept in the New Testament. 127 times, he is saying that this is the essence of God. Matter of fact, normally you'll find the word Zoe hooked together with eternal Zoe, eternal life. Because it talks about the life of God himself. That there is no past, no present, no future. He just is. Jesus said to them, beware and be on your guard of every form of greed, for not even when one has the abundance of life, the abundance of this world, does his Zoe consist of his possessions. And we've heard it say, you can't take anything into heaven with you. You take your Zoe with you. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him will have eternal Zoe. We read that this morning. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal Zoe. The thief comes only to kill and destroy and steal. I came that they may have Zoe and have it abundantly. Gee, when I listen to the TV sometimes, I hear preachers saying, God gave you life and gave it to you abundantly, as if it's bios life. As if it's psyche life. And now we understand, no, it's the God life that he wants us to have in abundance. For through the law, I died to the law that I might Zoe to God. For to me, to Zoe is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to zoe on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Nothing, and then we go to the book of the Revelation, the end of time. Nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination, lying, shall ever come into that new heaven and that new earth, that new Jerusalem. But only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Zoe. The Lamb's Book of Life. The Lamb's Book of not what I've done, but the Lamb's Book of Life. The life that God gives. Blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have the right to the tree of Zoe. A little side note. You ever seen bookends? How the one is the opposite of the other? I mean, they were both like identical, but they're sort of different. Back in the book of Genesis, I seem to remember that there was that Adam and Eve had biological life. They had psyche, but they were forbidden to eat from the tree of Zoe, and thus live forever. And here we are at the book of the Revelation with the new heaven and the new earth that now allows us to eat from the tree of Zoe. How God puts all of history in between to get us from point A to point B. Because the bride says, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes to take water, the water of Zoe, come without cost. So it gets back then, having done that little detour. What does it mean? That God has given us life. Biological life? Yes. Psychological life? Yes. But what's he talking about, and what word is he using in this sentence? I think we know. God has given us Zoe. God has given us eternal life, and that life, that Zoe is in his Son. So that he who has the Son has Zoe, and who doesn't does not have Zoe. That's what it means to be saying to us here this morning. So then the question then comes, as I had to ask myself the same question. I think as each of us here has to ask the same question, as we can ask our neighbors, our friends, as everyone in the world has to ask. Yes, we have been born biologically alive. Yes, we've been born with psyches. But the question that it comes down to is, you have bios, you have psyche. Do you have Zoe? Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for how you led me to this understanding years ago, and for the privilege of being here and being used to share it with all of us here, brothers and sisters in Christ. That simple message that allows us to proclaim to a world that is still spiritually dead, born dead in their trespasses and sin, that there is life, and that's what we stand for. The life that we offer in Jesus Christ. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.